Hey, tonight we watched Strange Magic.
Some shit that fell out of George Lucas's brain. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
Ooh, Dan McCoy, great. I'm Stuart Wellington.
And we have a guest tonight. Who is that guest?
Ooh, I'm Jordan Morris. Great.
Oh, no, you just stole my bit. I don't like this guy.
Yeah,
Jordan Morris, he's you're trying out for Elliot Kalin's role. He died in a hunting accident.
Weird that he went hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be known as the second Elliot.
Yeah.
You know, like people talk about the second Darren on Bewitched or the second Becky on Roseanne. I'll just be the like replacement Elliot. And then fans can get in a debate as to who was better.
Or maybe everyone will forget the original Elliot years down the road when we all are sitting here with crazy long gray beards.
Sure. That'll be like a Flophouse trivia thing. Like, did you know that Jordan Morris was not the first to portray Elliot?
I do think that you need to speak a little higher and more nasally.
Sure.
And complain about getting home to your baby.
Yeah. Well, I'll also make sure to badger anyone who...
And his hemorrhoids. He was always complaining about his hemorrhoids.
Oh, and his erectile dysfunction.
Exactly. He's like, it's like a floppy little sausage.
Yeah.
I
have too much diarrhea.
I was going to say losing his hair, but he is actually losing his hair.
Oh, dude, come on.
I was going to say to fill
There's
in
nothing
for Elsa.
Sacred.
I mean, I would not say that if I didn't think it did not seem to bother him.
Erectile dysfunction is hilarious.
It's
baldness
totally
is not.
Hilarious.
Baldness is an issue.
Elliot is the person that I know who most appears to be looking forward to being an old man. Like, he, literally just, that's all he wants. He wants to be at home with his family, being old.
That's the definition of being an old man.
Swinging a rake at someone who's fucked with his lawn.
Yeah, I mean, he does not like slackers. I know that to be a fact.
Does he have, like, an old-timey corded telephone that he's all picked out to sit next to waiting for his kids to call, and they never do?
You made it sad.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Elliot's going to have the sort of family where the kids call.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to call.
That's why he wants to get home to his kids so he can build in that precious time.
He needs to talk to his kids so he can badger them for slightly missaying something.
Sure. They love that.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah.
Thank you. Finally, someone has said it. People mispronounce things all the time. I don't know why I have to be fucking pilloried for it.
In case you can't tell, I'm a fan of the show and all of its tropes.
Do we need to explain who Jordan is?
No, that's what I was about to get to that.
He's one of the you're one of the brothers from My Brother and Me, right?
Yes, that's right. Those lovable advice-giving podcast brothers. I'm the one you don't hear from a lot. Jordy McElroy.
You're Gummo.
Yes, I'm Gummo. I'm Shemp McElroy. What happens is I find lovable podcast trios and then replace one.
Oh, great.
I'm the Sammy Hagar of this.
Can't think of another lovable podcast trio that you could pull this trick on.
None of them exist, I'm sure.
No, there's only two.
Yeah. Duos are popular in podcasting. Trios less so.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan is one half of Jordan Jesse Go, which you could guess by the title of the show. And he's a writer for At Midnight. So he's still in the Comedy Central... late night family.
Yeah.
So he's on hiatus at the same time.
So you guys can have
as us
me on the show or someone who writes for South Park rerun.
What do you write for the rerun?
You just punch it up.
Sure. So
with the second airing, we gotta.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but Jordan Jesse Go is on the Max Fun Network.
Oh, that's true. We're all on the same network, too.
Now, what's the Max Fun Network?
See, normally I would think that you're promoting the show, but I like with Stuart, he might actually not know. That's the other thing. Stuart, it's a podcasting network that we're a member of.
Okay.
You know, cool. It's sort of like United Artists, but with podcasting.
Okay, cool.
So that's our show.
Good okay, night. See you later.
Good night. Walking away. Walking away sounds. Walking away.
Door slam. Car noise. Airplane going overhead.
Sad of us drinking post-show beers.
Yeah.
Rather than the during-show beers that we're all having right now.
The post-show beers are far more delicious.
Yeah. That's when you break out the good shit.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's like, you know, it's like having a beer after you've gone out for a run.
Yep.
Like, you feel like you deserve it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I like to run with the beer. I like to run and drink
that
at the same time.
That's like the worst thing. Now, we had... Is this... All right, I'm going to ask a question about whether
this is...
Is
it about the movie we watched tonight?
No. Okay. We may never get to the movie.
And the show will be better for it.
Certainly at this rate. Now, you went... Stuart and I went to the same college. Mm-hmm. You went to the University of Santa Cruz,
yes.
Which I know as a listener to Jordan Jesse Go. Did you have the hash? Was that a thing at your school?
The hash? Now, no.
Okay.
I mean, there were lots of drugs around.
Okay.
Is that...
It's not quite the same.
Tell me about the hash.
I didn't know whether this was Earlham specific or other schools. I think other schools, but not necessarily.
It's also something that, like, I know people in the military that have done it.
Right. So this is where you run... To drink beer at the
end. Yeah, it's an organized activity, usually in places where they don't have fraternities, mm-hmm. if I'm correct, where they like some organizers take a bunch of kegs out into the woods mm-hmm. or to a river or something, and then get everybody to run through the woods along a path to where the beer is, and then you have like rules about how you drink it, and if you I never actually did, but I imagine if you do it enough times, you get a cool nickname.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like hearing about
like the vomiter.
Sure.
What's the thing?
Diarrhea pants.
Puke machine.
Jordan's joke about running with beer reminded me of this because I was just like, this sounds like the worst thing in the world to me. Mm-hmm. Like, have none of these people figured out that you can just drink beer in your dorm room without running to get it?
It's more fun when somebody tells you how to drink it.
Yeah,
and you're tired.
Santa Cruz's version of this is called First Rain,
okay.
And the first time it rains during the school year, there is a like naked run around campus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think there was a direct-to-DVD American Pie sequel based on this phenomenon.
Oh, wow. Was it just called, First Rain? What?
It's called,
Hard Rain?
American Pie, Here Are Some Tits.
Black Rain?
Yeah, Black Rain. I think it was called...
Some days a hard rain's gonna fall.
Yeah, on some... Naked 19-year-olds on shrooms.
I was going to shoot them all.
Yeah, and it's kind of freshman year initiation thing. Because, I think Santa Cruz also, no proper frats, not a lot of mm-hmm. organized sports. So it's, light on traditions, but this is one of them. And I didn't do it the first year because I had a long-distance girlfriend who told me she didn't want me to do it. Because
I had a long penis.
I had a long penis and didn't want to trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get it like trapped in a fence or something.
Yeah, I didn't want to make my new classmates feel self-conscious.
I'm imagining iWorks style early black and white cartoon with a guy with a long penis, a nude guy running around and getting it tied in a bow on things.
Yeah, wrapped around a tree and then a whole bunch of other students trip on it.
It's caught in a steamboat wheel. Whoa. I didn't do it, and I still kick myself for it. I feel like I wish I had done more outrageous college shit, but yeah. I think I was a little timid.
You know, people might think I'm weird for saying this, but I don't think it would be strange for you to go back and just run with those freshmen.
Guys, I'm 33 and I used to come here. Oh, that's right.
It's cool.
I used to be on the improv team, so I'm sure you've heard of me. I'm sure people still talk about exploits of my improv group.
What was it, Mixed Nuts? What was your improv?
Oh, we were called...
fake improv group from The Daily Show.
It might as well have been. It was called Humor Force 5.
Okay.
Which sucks. We were...
Was the with nuts. Sucks part of the name, or did you just add that?
That's I added that because I'm embarrassed at the name.
Yeah.
Well, my improv troupe that I started in college because there was not one before I was there was called Stop Laughing. So they're all... There's no way to have a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Name it's, for a troupe.
Right, they're all bad.
Anyway... So that's been College Tales, which is the traditional,
traditional beginning.
Sounds like
every
a porno.
Episode we do college stories at the beginning, as longtime listeners know. But now we get on to the meat of the show, which is we watched a bad movie, and now we talk about it. And tonight we watched a movie from the Lucasfilm folks.
Oh, just hearing that makes you so excited, right?
Yeah, called Strange Magic. which is a CGI animated film about a bunch of fairy folk, and it's got songs you know, like the 50s or 60s up until today. It's what they call a jukebox musical, which is when you have a musical made up of songs that were pre-existing, although usually a jukebox musical either is a musical with songs all written by the same songwriting
team.
Like
a Mamma Mia?
Well, no, I was like, an ABBA.
I actually got it right.
Yeah, no, you're right. ABBA, that's all the same team. I was going to go with something like Singing in the Rain, or which I forget the team, but those were all written by the same people, or like Crazy for You, it's all Gershwin songs. Or it's like Rock of Ages, where it's all the same genre.
Yeah, this was an incoherent mishmash with no apparent theme.
This is just, yeah.
Yeah, it seemed to be
it's
like
the Jack Radio.
Yeah, we're singing what we want. Yeah, it seemed. I can see the brainstorming meeting for this movie going like, well, we want to have songs. We want to have songs, so we'll do some stuff, some oldies the parents will remember. Mm-hmm. You know,
get them out on the dance
floor.
Love
is Strange, Sugar Pie Honey Bun. Uh-huh. I don't know if that's the actual name of the song. That's the refrain. But then they had some, you know, there's some Beyonce and some, I don't know, Drake thrown in for the kids. Yeah. I recognize them as popular songs,
I mean,
I
don't think anything is super new. I think the Beyonce song was the newest.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was Crazy in Love. So that's an older song.
What about that? What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger?
That's true.
I hear that in the deli. So
that, but I don't think any of them is up to the minute.
Yeah, I'm sure in the 5 years it took to make this movie.
That's the thing, yeah, it's a CGI movie. Probably there's no way of doing anything.
And a low budget CGI movie.
I don't know about that. It's a Lucasfilm production, and it seems to have been a labor of love for him. But look, Elliot's not here. He usually sums things up.
You want to do it?
I don't think I can.
I think between us, we could probably tag team it.
Okay.
It shouldn't fall all on one person's shoulders.
So, Lucasfilm logo.
Yeah.
We all get immediate boners for some reason.
Yeah. We were excited that maybe Dan accidentally put on Star Wars.
Cut to a shot of a dude unrolling a map, and our boners go away.
Yeah.
And the map
because
shows.
we were all sexually abused by maps as children by cartographers.
The map unrolls and we see
inside a sex tent. Also, was where they put the sex tent inside us. They
oh, sex tent! I was there at Burning Man. it's a map of a magical kingdom, and the map is divided into two halves. There's the fairy kingdom,
a little
which is,
on the nose,
which is light and pastel colored, and then there's the dark forest, which is evil looking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
kind of bland for a known world type map, but
and they're so like these things are divided. These areas are divided by like a bunch of primrose flowers, I guess, which are key ingredients in love potions, which are important in this movie. And I say that I predicted that at some point love potion number 9 would be sung. It was not. Mm-hmm. It was the only time that a non-on-the-nose choice was not made in this movie.
And your wager, the cost of your wager is your soul,
no!
Ben McCoy.
Rumpelstiltskin, I didn't recognize you.
Disguised as Stuart this whole time.
I've been playing the long game.
But no, there's literally like a part where, for instance, a woman talks about how she's worried, and then one of the other characters starts singing, "Don't worry about a thing." Don't you know that every little thing's gonna be all right?
And they're like, this song's so cheap, we might as well fucking use it.
Yeah,
yeah. They just went to a Rights Goodwill.
That's right. They went to Bob Marley's R Us.
Yeah.
Fire sale or one of those like police auctions.
I think it's important to say that all of these songs, which on their own could be fun to listen to, are rendered unfun because they are backed and arranged by what I can only imagine is the house band of a Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, like a white Uncle in Sandals filter is placed on all of these songs. So any like pleasure you would just derive from hearing like a good song is taken away because it's the cheesiest possible arrangement of it.
Or they do the thing where like, oh, I like this song in its normal tempo. Let's slow it down to ballad.
Yeah.
Which works when you're watching Sons of Anarchy and they do that as like a music montage like seven times every episode.
Well, people are getting beat up or something. Yep. I don't know what happened.
Probably murdered. I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. So, but the movie starts with our heroine is she's in love with love. She's singing, "I can't help falling in love with you," which is mashed up with "Crazy in Love."
Mm-hmm.
And you know
her life is good because she has that cartoon character affectation of just randomly laughing as she moves about the world, like if that was her in the real world, she'd be an insane person just giggling as she bounds around. But
it's like Sandra Bullock in that movie where she plays a crazy person. Whoa, you were in that?
Oh, I'm totally in that. Yeah, I'm in the I have a couple of lines in the protest scene.
Well, then you were in a movie that is a perfect example of a character in the real life just giggling.
Yeah, no, exactly. Of a character that is like supposed to be like, oh, people will think this is cute, but if you encountered that character on the world in the real world, it's like, oh, this is an insane person.
Okay, did I just make this awkward for making?
No, no.
Oh no, I am well aware that All About Steve sucks. Okay. I mean, when I got the part, they like mailed me a copy of the script, and I read it, and I'm like, this is fucking insane. Like, is this a movie? I am well aware of the place that All About Steve occupies in the cultural imagination.
All About Steve residuals, though,
still coming.
Yeah,
I will get a check for like $15 every now and then because people buy it on iTunes, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
And like Sandra Bullock, I loved her in the Sidebar. What was the movie she was in?
Sidecar.
Sidecar.
It's a movie with her and the football guy.
The Net.
The Blind Side.
Speed.
The Blind Side. Yeah. Thank you.
At first, when you said Sidebar, I was like Aaron Brockovich.
That'd be crazy
throwing
man.
Out legal terms.
Yeah, if you guys want to go out for some All About Steve, if you guys want to go out for some All About Steve hot wings later, I'm paying. That's like what my residuals pay for. Yeah,
do not order any drinks.
Pay for some Steve branded hot wings.
So yeah, she's a princess, which you know because like all the peasants like come out and wave to her. She flies around, mm-hmm. and she's gonna marry a very handsome fairy. I guess, I don't know, they all look like, as we were saying during it.
Dan, it's okay to admit that a man's handsome. I'm not going to judge you.
That's not it. It was that...
He's the anti-map and that he gave me a boner as opposed to extinguishing my boner like those maps.
As we were saying, all these characters look like they are like erotic fan art that someone on the internet has drawn of a fairy.
Yeah.
You know, like when you go to a Comic-Con or something like that, like way in the back, there'll be a guy at a card table wearing overalls and a floppy hat, and he's just drawing fucking fairies with huge tits and giant cocks. Like, this is what those characters look like.
And you'd see that guy from afar and be like, you should be drawing pogo-esque characters, not monsters.
This seems like that guy did all of the character design for this because they are upsettingly shiny and sexual.
Yeah, it's like the animators were like, man, DeviantArt's going to have a field day with this shit. High five.
I like the idea that anyone makes a movie just as a pre-DeviantArt.
Yeah.
But
little did they know for DeviantArt to take to it, the movie has to be popular and watchable.
Oh,
sorry, perverts, just keep drawing Sonic peeing on Pikachu.
Why is there so much Sonic porn? Like, of
we've
all
talked
the
about
things,
this.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
because
know.
Because he's great.
It's because he's so great, and people want to see him turned into a toilet.
They want to see him fucking tails.
I love all the ones where Sonic is the pregnant one, though. That's the thing that's crazy. Why is he pregnant?
Because Knuckles gave it to him
it's
in
a,
the butt.
It's a junior situation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing with all those rings, man, paying for that.
So we're like 5 minutes in the movie.
So the movie opens with this princess flying around and giggling to herself, and it's done in that style where she's flying, but the camera is like so tight on her that you don't really get any sense of gravity or geography or any. It's like Miyazaki's nightmare where you have no idea what like the joy of flight actually is. And then it just moves along to her, I guess, falling in love with this guy and then finding out he's cheating on her.
Yeah, so she is betrothed to a jerky prince fairy who is kind of a preening Gaston type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We kind of know he's a jerk from the get-go, and then she is flying around making him some sort of wedding corsage and then sees him kissing a just faceless other fairy.
Random.
Could be a dude fairy.
We don't know. Everyone has short hair. So. Yeah.
So that happens. And so she calls off the wedding. The guy tries to win her back, and she sings, I don't know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger, I guess.
And she puts on her armor, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a getting ready montage that where she is singing about how she's heartbroken while her kind of her slave class of pixies is putting on a new outfit.
And meanwhile, her little sister is still in love with love. She's excited about, I don't know, whatever. There's a bunch of dances. this fairy kingdom has like a dance every couple hours. So at one of these balls, the evil prince convinces this little gnome creature to get the ingredients for a love potion so he can re-win the woman.
Yeah, this like troll doll little guy.
Yeah, but he convinces it, the troll doll guy, to do it, I guess, so he can make the younger princess in love with him. Which is kind of creepy.
Yeah, the gnome guy is in a kind of friend zone relationship with the other princess.
And for
with
a while,
younger
we think
princess.
He's the male lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet, his goal is to basically find some kind of magical roofie to get.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So, yeah, we were a little baffled by him being cast in the hero role for a while.
But he's got overalls on. So
yeah, he's very non-threatening. Yeah.
So you like him too.
Yeah, he's cool.
I don't know. Well, he goes on a quest. He's getting the ingredients. He runs into the Blue Fairy, played by Kristen Chenoweth, who sometimes...
But he has to
like,
go to like the evil...
Yeah, he has to go into the Dark Kingdom. There's a Blue Fairy that Stuart said a few times, looks like she's made of jizz.
Yeah. Well,
she looks like a magic sperm.
Which she's in her like normal like Blue Fairy... Guys, yeah, she looks like magic sperm, but she also switches into like a weird, like kind of a possum looking creature sometimes.
Wait, she's the same thing?
Yeah, no, those are the same. She's like a shapeshifter.
Okay.
So it's like a little opossum mouse, basically. Okay.
Wait, she was also the opossum?
I believe so. Unless
I missed that. Yeah.
I would say let's check the tape, but I never want to see that again.
Yeah, boy. This movie had a weird quality of being. Like the most simple, like fucking, you know, basic ass George Lucas story. Because
yeah, he's like, I'm going to take a little Taming the Shrew,
but also impossible to follow. Like, boredom was probably part of it, like not wanting to follow it, but also its hackness was only exceeded by its confusingness.
And it's one thing to both take a hack premise, but then also to throw in like super cliched songs and music cues that it's like piling crap on top of crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this wanted to be like Moulin Rouge meets like Midsummer Night's Dream, but it was just like this like weird frenetic mishmash of just nonsense stuff from all kinds of genres.
So at this point, then like. The love potion gets made, and then the whole point, like, everybody's trying to get a hold of this love potion. The Bog King, this tragic figure.
Sure, yeah.
Voiced by Alan Cumming.
Yeah, the Bog King is the villain for a good portion of the thing, and he is a very just cliche evil guy who says that I am evil in a song, and he wants to eradicate love.
Despite the protests of his Jewish mother, I guess.
Yeah, he has a frog that's his mom, and she has a Jewish affectation.
All mothers are Jewish.
I guess.
And that's the rule.
Yeah. I can't decide if this movie
And all
seems
fathers
like,
are George Lucas, according to this movie.
I can't decide if this movie seems like it was written by a child or like a 50-year-old drama teacher. Like, it's one of the two.
Like, it's... Yeah. It's a collaboration between a five-year-old and the worst writer on your show of shows.
Right.
Yeah, they're like, what songs does Billy dance to when we put on Pandora? We're putting those in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, and I did it. I asked you guys at one point in the movie, like, if we were 12-year-old girls, would this be the most awesome thing in the world? And it's possible. You know, like, we are certainly not the target audience of this movie. So.
And I can't imagine what it would be like to be a 12-year-old girl, so...
Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot of ponies.
Sure.
Stickers, I imagine, come into it at a certain
puffy
point.
Stickers.
Mm-hmm. Bieber, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Backpack like adornments.
Like a pink cell phone, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, cell phones, certainly. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, boy, the characters just talk about love all the time.
Uh-huh.
So I guess...
It's the big news in the kingdom.
Yeah,
it's the fifth element, dude.
Yeah, yeah, spoilers. The strange magic turns out to be love, like... As does the fifth element.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bog King, what happens at this point? Somebody gets a hold of the
potion accidentally gets splashed all over the younger
skin.
Yeah, sure.
On top of her skin.
And she falls in love with the Bog King. And so she's going off with him. Like, the older princess thinks that she's been kidnapped, so she goes to find him. And then, like, she discovers what happens and the fact that, like, the younger sister wants to be there. And they go looking for some kind of antidote to this.
Or an anecdote, which is a mispronunciation you made. And then they made that joke in the movie. It was crazy.
Yeah. They're... taking notes from our podcast.
Yeah.
People saying the wrong thing is funny.
Yeah. What if someone slightly missaid something? Yeah, boy. And there's a lot of, I think we talked about this. There's an old Patton Oswalt anecdote about him being hired to punch up an already written animated movie. And the only way to do that is to have the characters say things off screen. And there is a shit ton of that in this movie. There is definitely there's these two henchmen characters who I guess we are meant to think are funny. And
one of them's voiced by Peter Stormare, and I'm assuming the other one's by Super Dave.
Oh, yeah. Bob Einstein is in this as some characters, so that must be, Super Dave must be that guy.
Yeah. So it's probably just the two of them shouting stuff.
Yeah, and there's just a moment where them off screen, someone gets a boutonniere, and someone's like, is it boutonniere or buttonniere?
Mm-hmm.
Really emphasizing the butt part of it. So, yeah, that's just the kind of...
Wait, is the joke butt in ear?
It might be butt in ear.
I don't know what that gag is otherwise.
Yeah, I think it's just an excuse to say butt. I think, at some point, someone realized that this family comedy did not contain any comedy and just had these two little guys yell weird things.
Yeah. So, I mean, we learn the tragic backstory of the Bog King because the Sugar Plum Fairy... in the course of explaining how to undo this magic, says, the Bog King used to be in love with this woman. He made the potion to give to her. And she
A woman, I think you're being like a little charitable. It's a frog lady.
Yeah.
But the frog lady did not fall in love with him because she was in love with someone else. And the only antidote to this potion is true love, is loving somebody else.
Like in real life, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only antidote to a roofie fall in love.
So we learn at this point that the Bog King is not so much a villain as a tragic figure. And he and the older sister start to fall in love, which is, you know, kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a time when the movie kind of surprised me, is that this guy is such a, you know, crazy cartoon of a cartoon villain, and you know, they do give him a little depth, and you know, the princess doesn't, you know, I was also expecting a moment where the Bog King, you know, gets
transformed,
douched with some other kind of potion that makes him handsome, that does not happen. So,
The thing is, in Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon, of course.
Sure.
The beast before he gets douched.
Not the historic event. Not the real news item that happened.
Yeah, that happened during the Napoleonic Wars.
Before the beast gets douched when he's still a beast, he's way more, sleep with that one.
Everyone can agree that the beast is handsomer than, Blondo.
Definitely more handsome than the Bog King.
Yeah. But both of the princesses end up with kind of unappealing looking dudes at the end of this movie, which is
depends on whether
nice.
Or not you like a troll doll that has a little bit of reggae flavor.
Ladies, write in. Tell us whether you'd sleep with a reggae troll doll.
Yeah, who's more attractive, a reggae troll doll or a stereotypical Jewish looking insect man?
Whose skin kind of looks like the bark of a tree.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter, ladies. and fellas, if you're a fella who likes fellas.
Yeah, sure. We do not discriminate.
We want to hear from everybody.
To bog kings and trollmen.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. So that all goes down. There's a big crazy action ending where the troll guy de-potionifies the younger sister by the power of true love.
Uh-huh.
The douche prince tries to spray a love potion all over the older sister, and she, for a second, it looks like she's been enchanted, but it's all a trick. She punches him because she's really in love with the Bog King, and I don't know, some song gets sung.
And the Bog King's palace gets destroyed. We think the Bog King dies. He doesn't die. He climbs out of the skeleton jaws that smashed him.
Yeah, he has a slightly hurt arm. Yeah, but it does seem like the douche prince dies. It does seem like he is pushed off a cliff. I think we don't hear him go, "I'm okay," after that.
There might be an after credits bit where he's like, "I'll come back and kill you guys."
In the sequel that everyone wants to see.
Stranger magic. Or Strange Normal Days, magic. Right? Strange Days.
Oh, is Strange Days a sequel to this?
Yeah, I think it's a sequel.
Okay. This is in the Strange Days averse.
Yeah, I know that is though a thing that happens, I feel like, in these cartoon kids movies, is the villains will often die horribly, and no one seems to have a problem with that. Like, it'll all be G-rated except for, someone will die.
The villain plummeting off something. Or
all right, well, that's
later
cool
scar.
With that, I guess.
Getting impaled, yeah.
Justice is served.
What goes around comes around.
Heroes just murdered a guy.
The wicked will receive their punishment. To talk about the politics of this profoundly stupid movie is interesting, because it does like have a little bit of a progressive bent in it, in that, you know, the princesses fall in love with kind of unlikely men. And there's a, and I think one of the kind of fun to watch scenes is when they're, you know, this little opossum character that may or may not be the blue fairy in disguise is going around just spreading love potion everywhere. And then there's like a frog falls in love with a toadstool, and a, you know, dragonfly falls in love with a snake.
And a lizard falls in love with the troll doll guy.
Yeah.
Which that lizard's going to be fucking heartbroken, dude, when it realizes the troll guy is going to be with the princess.
I know.
There's no way the king is going to allow that.
I wonder how progressive their marriage laws are. But there is a scene with all this, like, you know, fall in love with who you fall in love with message that they have. There is a scene where two male characters accidentally kiss and go like, "Oh, gross." Blah. And it's like, "Oh, okay. Like, frog fucking is fine, but but men don't kiss other men. That's gross."
Yeah. Women, Lisa. Men fall
in love with men. Boys kiss women. Girls.
Yeah. What a weird Gore Vidal reference that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about this movie. It was very frenetic. There were a lot of terrible songs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There were a lot of songs that I guess you probably wouldn't mind if you heard them, but sounded terrible in the context.
Were mostly good songs.
What about what were they dancing to? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or something, and then it got all kaleidoscopy at the end.
I don't think that they licensed a Beatles song for this.
I think it was Wild Thing at the end.
Oh, it was Wild Thing. Okay.
I thought the character designs, by and large, of the heroes were terrible. Like, if you see a CGI movie that's like a CGI cartoon that's a fantasy movie, all of the like hero characters are always like this weird like Hallmark card versions of fantasy bullshit, and I didn't like that at all. But some of the crazy creatures look cool.
See, the sad thing is every time I see like a relatively cheap fantasy animated movie, in my head I'm always like, there's no way the armor would look like that. Like, that's unrealistic completely. They wouldn't wear that to a dance.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this, Jordan, but Stuart's a bit of a nerd.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a nerd on a podcast.
I thought you were a cool dude.
I can also be a cool dude. Amongst the nerds, of course. Yeah.
I'm the
coolest.
You're the coolest.
Coolest
nerds.
My camp.
Yeah,
that's a TV show, Dan. You can't make that reference.
What?
I'm still in talks to be on that King of the Nerds TV show.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's a Lucas production, so there is some, you know, there is some cool design. I think, yeah, some of the bad guys do look neat. Boy, yeah, really, really struggling to say something nice about this.
Well, yeah, I think we should probably get into final judgments about whether this is a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie we kind of like.
Final judgments.
I'm going to say that for me, this sort of falls a little outside the normal things. I'd say, like, overall, it's a bad, bad movie because I didn't enjoy watching it, but it comes a little close to good, bad in that it is a baffling thing to watch. Like, it's an experience to watch it. It's a misbegotten film. It's a totally, like, stupid idea. None of the pieces fit together. Like, this idea of making this, like, weird fairy love story CGI animated thing with all these pop songs stuck in it. It's just crazy that they thought this was a good idea for a film.
I feel like if it was just a little bit cheaper or a little bit like creepily designed, like a little more creepily designed, I would say it's a good bad movie. But I think it's just bad. Like it's not. There's nothing quite crazy enough for me to say go out and watch this when there's Food Fight for you to go out and watch instead.
Yeah, this doesn't like something, a Food Fight, that I guess I have not seen but only know of it from your guys' podcast about it. Like, it doesn't seem like this was done by, you know, amateurs. It's not like a Room or something like that where it's like, oh, this was someone who tried to make a movie who didn't know how. Like, this is clearly done by talented people who just decided not to do a second draft of anything. You know, it seems like it, you know, when you get to be a Lucas or a Woody Allen or something, just you get to be a point where no one tells you no. And like, let's do another pass on that, or this is not the best idea. Like, it just seems like it's a, you know, megalomaniac's jack off session, and that is meant to be a kids movie. So yeah, I think I am saying bad, bad. I had one genuine laugh where there was a party sequence and the reggae troll doll stole someone's ice cream cone. Just a random extra. He just took his ice cream cone, and that just random character started to cry. That for some reason struck me as actually funny, but I think I was just groping for something to enjoy.
You were punch drunk at that point.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, again, I am also saying bad, bad movie. No reason to explore this, even if you are a Lucasophile or something like that.
So
it's a terrible thing to have to admit.
Yeah.
Now what do we do, Dan?
We do letters from listeners.
Oh wow,
the next.
But segment. Elliot's not here to sing a letter song.
No, it's the letters part.
All right. Yeah.
How was that? Sure. Was that as good as Elliot does?
No, it's. I would say it was tight.
Okay.
When I read those letters, my panties get wetter.
Well, wait. I don't like this.
Ooh, I like this saucy new letter song.
Like it.
Shiny white paper.
I don't like the way that Stuart's staring.
Big old bag of letters. My day couldn't get better.
Hopefully they're not groaners. So then we all get boners.
Perfect.
Okay.
It was our time to shine.
I think we did great.
Yeah. Super erotic. Anyway, so this letter is from Scott, who writes, Stuart.
Hey.
Scott can't hear you.
What's up?
Oh, boy.
Scott, are you there? What's going on?
No, he doesn't understand.
Do you still not know how letters work? Is that... you guys been doing this long enough?
He says, Stuart, can you speak the rest of the episode in German? Danke, Scott.
Nee, ich kann nur ein kleines bisschen Deutsch sprechen. Ich habe so viel vergessen.
So I hope that meant something.
Stuart, so where did you learn German?
In Germany. Okay. I spent like 6 months over there, and I took a couple of years. It's not a particularly exciting story. And then I worked in a German beer hall for a few years.
Oh. And people wanted to order in German?
No, I mainly use it to correct people's pronunciation like a jerk.
Oh, great. Awesome. Yeah, world needs more of those.
Every once in a while, I'd have a guy come up and try and order something in German, and there was a guy who insisted only in speaking German to the waitress, and the waitress would usually just direct them to me. And I would start talking to the guy, and a couple times I'm like, this guy isn't even German. His pronunciation's terrible. Why is he insisting on speaking German to me? It's quite a story.
Yeah.
And you killed that man. You throttled him.
I waited until he left the bar a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
And then I hit him in the head with a kosh.
It's actually pronounced kosh. Sorry. <Thanks. laughs> I don't know what that is.
I'm going to wait till you leave, and then it's a blackjack to the back of the head.
You and your partner stuffed him in a trunk and then had a dinner party while Jimmy Stewart slowly got more and more suspicious. this letter is from Core. Last letter withheld. I think it's Corey, guys.
Hmm.
I think that's
okay.
Who writes, "Dear Floppers, I recently have acquired a son and an interest in the Flophouse. I know better than to expose him to the show, but it appears he's been listening from the living room every day while I make supper. I know this because he, 4 years old, recently crab walked into the kitchen going roar, roar, in a weird Tim Curry kind of way. I asked what he was doing, and he told me he was the floppy house cat." So that's one thing. The other thing was he asked me to make up a story for him about Dan and Elliot. Sorry, Stuart, not you.
That's okay.
When doing the voice for Dan, he would correct me.
I can set this one out.
When doing the voice for Dan, he would correct me and tell me to make it sadder. No, sadder. Until I sounded like Eeyore, but with brain damage, maybe. I find you three entertaining, but for obvious reasons, I don't want my son to emulate you. So if you could maybe say on the show a message telling him to, it's all pretended, that you aren't normal, I could play it for him, and I think it would help in his personal development. Thanks.
We don't know his name. He'll hear us.
What do people name their shitty kids these days? Pistol? Trigger?
Bucket?
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
I'm sorry I called your kid shitty. He's probably fine.
Not emulating us. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
We've made it.
What would you rather your kid grow up to be?
Yeah, we've carved
a teacher, engineer,
a lumberjack, a doctor helping the sick,
a priest who helps people with religion.
So keep on listening. That's where I say Corey's child.
Yeah.
Be like us.
Yep.
But not like Elliot.
Yeah,
apparently.
Don't listen to your dad.
Now imagine his dad Elliot. Furiously trying to stop
Stuart.
It. He won't have previewed this at all.
Yeah, don't listen to your dad. Pursue a career in podcasting. Television writing, and bar ownership. Mm-hmm. One of those three things.
The three
combination.
Seediest professions.
Yeah.
I hope this has been helpful.
It's weird that he picked up the Flophouse cat thing. Like, that seems to be a pretty, I mean, I know it's a beloved running joke, but I mean, it's a pretty particular thing.
Yeah, sound effects are very dear to children's hearts.
That's true. So maybe they would have liked that part in
like a slide
Strange
whistle.
Magic where the princess stepped on a balloon and a fart sound happened.
I love that part.
Yeah, you did actually legitimately laugh at that.
I was like, that sounds like Bantha Poodoo.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of just like desperately trying to cram in something that resembled comedy.
Or references to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. There were a couple references to Star Wars, weren't there?
Yeah,
so
where she's blocking
So she's blindfolded and practicing sword fighting.
Mm-hmm.
The King of the Fairies looks like George Lucas. I thought he should be wearing a little flannel shirt. I thought that would have been cute. Mm-hmm. That's it, though, right? Is there anything else?
I don't know.
Yeah. Who cares?
Hi, this is Dave Hill from Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident on the Maximum Fun Network. I'm here with my lovely and talented secretary, Miss Shayna Feinberg. Shayna, I understand you've been doing a bit of research to find out what listeners think of the show.
Yes, I have, Dave.
And what have you found?
Well, people that love it say they love it because it's just Dave hanging out with someone in his apartment.
Awesome. What do people that hate it say?
They hate it because it's just Dave hanging out with someone in his apartment.
Oh.
Listen to Dave Hill's podcast dancing on the Maximum Fun Network, motherfucker.
Was that too much?
No, I think it was perfect.
This letter is from Robert, last name withheld, who writes, "While listening to one of your recent episodes, I had a brilliant movie idea that I'd love to get your thoughts on." Well, we'll be the judge.
Robert Rodriguez, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What if I shot a movie in my house in front of a green screen in Austin? Yeah, great idea, Robert Rodriguez. Those always work out great.
It is based on a true story, namely the true story that you guys sit around a lot riffing on silly movie ideas. The name of the movie is, of course, Three Ninjas Kick Back to the Future. Despite not yet existing, Three Ninjas Kick Back to the Future is already my fourth favorite movie, second only to Invisible Family, Head of the Maniac, and Powder.
But August Company.
But I have a couple of questions for you about it. Seriously, why does 3NKBTTF not exist yet? When it does, what do you think it'll be like? Please feel free to riff for anywhere between 30 seconds and 90 minutes as you see fit. I'll wait. Sits at keyboard for appropriate amount of time. That seems like...
Okay, well, obviously... I mean, if we were ninjas, why would we have to go back in time? Wait, the Ninja Turtles did that already.
Are you guys Rocky Colton Tum Tum in this situation?
Wait, are those the names of the three ninjas?
Those are the names of the three ninjas. Okay.
Tum Tum?
Tum Tum is the hungry one.
Yeah.
Hungriest ninja.
No, I was imagining like a chubby ninja.
I don't know. I think he's probably a little chubbier than the other ones, right. But he's still in good shape because of all the karate.
But he has a really high metabolism.
But he's just eating a lot of dumplings or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like Cheetos. Whatever kids
they're
like
all. Eat. Oh, yeah. The three ninjas are all white.
So okay,
yeah, they don't. They actually don't like dumplings that much.
I've got something embarrassing to admit to you guys.
What's that?
I've never seen a three ninja.
You don't know what a three ninja is?
Not even High Noon at Mega Mountain.
So are they modern day ninjas?
So the three ninjas, best I can remember.
Okay,
and this continue. was my one of my favorite genres as a kid was Child Knows Karate.
Sure.
That's why I love Sidekicks.
Yeah, sure.
Featuring the late Jonathan Brandis. So
I saw Sidekicks.
So Three Ninjas, I guess, is some sort of hybrid of that sort of movie and Home Alone.
Okay.
Where three kids who know karate have to deflect surfer dude burglars with a series of traps and then something else.
Like, so the Point Break burglars.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. This was definitely the era of the we gotta get
No karate.
Yeah.
The most extreme sport is stealing things.
From kids. Yes. These guys like street luge, BMX bikes, and stealing from children. So this was the era of that kind of character. And then they fought kids and then something else. And I know that there were like a lot of direct to DVD sequels for it.
I mean, I knew that they kicked back.
Well, they did a naked run. Yeah.
You know what? Literally this, like right now, I just now got the pun in the three ninjas kick back.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You thought it was just about them relaxing.
I didn't. That second meaning did not occur to me.
Yeah.
I'm very slow is what I'm saying.
You didn't think they could use their feet?
No, I got the kick back.
It's more a Taekwondo thing, I guess, is kicking.
They kick back, they attack back, but I didn't get the relaxation part of it.
So wait, if they're kicking back to the future, are they going back in time to like relax?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it could be just like a total retcon of the series. I mean, I think that's happening a lot these days. I mean, we had Terminator Genesis, which erased the bad Terminator movies that we didn't like.
Sure.
And then
by being a great Terminator movie?
By being a slightly worse than a slightly not as bad Terminator movie. Star Trek. Star Trek, and I guess I was going to say X-Men Apocalypse erased all the bad X-Men movies. So what if, you know, we have an older Rocky Colton Tum Tum?
Sure. A little grizzled.
Yeah. Tum-Tum is actually fat now.
One has an eye patch.
Yeah, and then they get some sort of talisman or something. I'm going to say talisman. It could be a...
They pee in a magic fountain.
Yeah, that too. And they go and like they stop their younger selves from becoming karate celebrities.
Yeah.
Because they know about the path of debauchery that it leads to.
Sure. All the lives shattered.
Sure, yeah. The cocaine and hookers that come with... being a child karate celebrity.
So does this help, Dan? Do you know more about Three Ninjas now?
Oh, certainly. I'm glad. I'm just glad that I chose to read this letter when we had a Three Ninjas expert.
Yeah.
America's foremost Three Ninjas expert.
Sure, yeah. I teach Three Ninjas studies at Cornell.
I was going to say the Learning Annex, so I'm glad that you're much more accredited.
Oh, no, it's at Cornell. Yeah, I wrote a paper called Tum Tum as the Raging Id. The raging id in all of us.
Let's read.
What?
Let's lead
what?
Ourselves into the future, guys. Triumphantly. Mm-hmm. Let's read this next last letter. It's from Thomas, last name withheld, who says, "Hey, floppers.
Thomas Dolby.
She blinded me with letters.
Be blinded me with letters."
"Everyone knows your favorite times of year are Smalltember, Shocktober, and Cagemas. So I thought, why not increase the joy with more theme months? Here are some suggestions. Kablamuary." That's okay. Action movies.
Okay.
Kablamuary. All right, wait, that's what? All right, what? What
are you okay?
What month is that replacing? That's what I'm wondering. Does anyone know? Kablamuary?
It's
replacing Blamuary.
Yeah, it's Kablamuary.
Jan doesn't sound like Kablam, but anyway, let's.
Yeah, that's a stretch.
Yeah, let's move on.
That's a stretch.
February.
Okay.
You're
saying it weird.
Hold on. Feb-boo-hoo-ary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tear jerkers.
Okay.
Deep Roll. Artsy movies. I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
School Eye. That's July. Topic should be obvious.
Yeah, what, school movies?
Yeah. You know, summer school, yeah, okay. Ski school.
Hollywood is, yep, those are all super current movies for us.
School, you know, all those bad school movies that come out. What was the last school movie?
I mean, I guess The Boy Next Door.
Yeah, these are all good movies, though. There's not been a bad movie made about school. Not even Dangerous Minds.
Gaffaugust, that's comedies. And Brovember, movies about men. March, May, and June are all one syllable.
Yeah, there's just no movies about men out there. You think you need to devote a month to awareness of...
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough finding movies that fit that category.
Yeah.
He pushes on March, May, and June because he says that one syllable...
Those are wild cards.
It's tough to make them work as puns. Mm-hmm. I look forward to hearing episodes from all of these theme months in the future and, of course, learning the stupid theme-based final judgments you concoct for each of them. Sincerely, Thomas, last name withheld.
Thanks, Thomas Dolby. So what? We're on to Kablamuary next?
What's the next? Well, we're in... Wait, are we in School Eye?
Like a Smallvember is next
this is Cage.
There's no August one?
August.
I guess you do Flogist, where you do S&M themed movies. You just watch Fifty Shades of Grey over and over again.
Yep, and
Fogist, where we watch the Fog remake. And nothing else.
It's part two of our exploration of the Fog remake. We really want to get into it.
Our yearly exploration.
Yeah. Just do like those guys who do Star Wars a minute at a time, but do it with the Fog remake.
Oh, wow. Boy.
Just
don't,
dive.
Don't watch what you say on there, dude.
Yeah, it's true. We did launch, inadvertently, Stuart launched a podcast that examined a talking cat.
A great podcast recognized by the Onion AV Club.
Mm. Yeah.
A talking cat podcast examining the movie A Talking Cat called A Talking Cast.
They came up with it,
but
they even got
I think the writer on that show, writer of the movie, is in the final.
Did you listen to it?
Yeah, it's great.
What did he have to say about it?
He seems like
the Cliff's Notes.
I'm not going to give you the Cliff Notes on an episode of our show, but I'll just say that it was like he seemed like it was not his fault as much as David Decocteau that made it crazier.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that either of them could have passed the buck.
Sure.
If they wanted to.
It's all Eric Roberts' fault. Would have been a great movie.
Is that damn cat.
Was he the voice of the cat, Eric Roberts?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He delivers an amazing performance. If you listen to any bad movie podcast, I'm sure they've done an episode on A Talking Cat.
Yeah, it's an amazing bad movie. We can't recommend that one enough.
Is it Room Birdemic quality bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It has a lot of dead space, but it's that kind of like brilliantly bad dead space rather than.
Yeah, there's a driving scene that seems to take up 10 minutes in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, it's like that rule of like, you know, if something happens 35 times, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like it just that pushes boredom so far that you're like, why is this happening? Who did this?
Yeah.
Why did they do it?
It's like how there's so much parking in Birdemic.
Exactly.
Just watching someone
is this a driving video?
Yeah.
So I hope that helped everyone, I guess, who wrote.
We learned the fucking months. Okay.
Yeah. That's right. We learned the months.
We learned about three ninjas.
Yeah. So play it for that kid. who we're talking about.
Yeah,
before.
See, there you go. He can learn what months are which.
Mix up his months.
Yeah. And now he knows basically what Three Ninjas is about without having to watch it.
Uh-huh. Or he'll know now if it's up his alley.
Sure. He's like, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll watch that.
So it's time for the final segment on the show, which is where we recommend movies that we liked rather than Strange Magic. Jordan, I know you're a listener. I hope that you remember that this was a segment.
I did, yes.
But I'll go first. I watched a movie called The Super Cops, which was Edgar Wright did a night where he was programming Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
And he showed a few movies that I'd seen already. I forget what they were, but I didn't tape those because I knew them. But I'd never heard of The Super Cops. It's from 1974. And it's based on a real pair of New York cops who were known as Batman and Robin at the time, due to like how many
their costumes.
They made a
due to their ambiguous gay relationship.
They made a lot of
father son weird relationship.
And it was directed by Gordon Parks, who made Shaft, and it was written, pardon me, by Lorenzo Semple Jr., who is an interesting writer. He he helped create the Batman TV series, so it's weird that he worked on this movie about cops that were nicknamed Batman and Robin. But he wrote the Anthony Perkins movie Pretty Poison. He wrote Papillon. He wrote The Parallax View, The Drowning Pool, 3 Days of the Condor.
Wait, Drowning Pool, that rock and roll band? That sings Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
No, Flash Gordon, Never Say Never.
Is that
never
the one
again.
That starts?
No, that's
Down with the Sickness. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So he's an interesting screenwriter, and this movie is sort of interesting. It's very much based on sort of incidents. It doesn't have a strong like forward plot. It's more like just a bunch of almost blackout sketches of these guys, these rookie cops trying to make names for themselves. They would like make busts when they're off duty and get in trouble with their commanding officers and do various crazy things because they were very interested in just rising through the ranks and busting people in any way that they could. And they're kind of like interesting heroes because on the one hand, they're fighting against police corruption throughout a lot of the movie. On the other hand, they're kind of assholes who are genuine loose cannons with no interest in the chain of command.
So by calling them Batman and Robin, it's a telling commentary on those characters as well.
Yeah, yeah. Vigilantism. What does it really get us, Stu?
Giant two-faced pennies.
That's
dinosaurs.
What yeah.
What else is in his Batcave? A butler?
A card, a giant Joker card. Yeah.
So anyway, it's a fun 1970s cop movie. I liked it a lot. It's called The Super Cops.
The Super Cops. Jordan, why don't you go next?
Yeah, sure. I saw a really really funny kind of mumblecore movie called The Overnight. Hmm. This is starring Adam Scott, Taylor Schilling.
She's so hot right now.
Jason Schwartzman. Yeah. And a French actress whose name I will mispronounce now, Judith Godrièche. Godrièche?
Sure, why not?
Help me out,
say
Stuart. You speak
times.
German?
it's we're just Godrièche?
Goat? Yeah, just say it like you don't know what you're saying.
Goat rash.
It's neat. It's about a kind of a couple of kind of two yuppie couples who, you know, kind of have this wild party and push their sexual boundaries. And it's genuinely really funny, and it doesn't do that thing where some mumblecore movies do, where it's like, why the fuck are we watching this? It has a pretty, you know, a pretty tight story, a pretty tight arc, and it doesn't seem like it's just, you know, loosey goose improvising. It has a lot of genuinely really hilarious moments, and it's nice if you feel like if you feel a little summer movie blockbuster fatigue, if you're tired of all the superheroes and explosions and you want to see an adult comedy. I hate that argument for seeing movies, but I'm genuinely giving it now. It is a nice little
comedy
digestif to the summer rock'em sock'em fair. but really good use of Jason Schwartzman too. I think he as often as I've liked him in things, he's rubbed me the wrong way.
Sure.
But I think they use his the little spice of douchebaggery that he has naturally and use it in a good way and, right. and help it to create a really cool, funny, interesting character. So
I can see that.
Yeah. It's a hoot.
Certified hoot.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend a movie that is also a little bit of a mumblecore movie. Mm. It's described as a comedy. It's kind of funny. and the Jordan, you mentioned the pitfalls of like a mumblecore style movie. And I think this movie suffers a little bit from it. Mm-hmm. It's a movie called Results, directed by Andrew Bujalski, who I guess is one of the forefathers of.
Funny Ha Ha is one of his.
Yeah. And I think Computer Chess, but
yeah,
I believe
you're right.
And this is a movie that stars Guy Pearce from the movie Space Jail as a personal trainer. and also Cole.
Is he his same character from Space Jail?
Exactly. Okay, except he doesn't use the same voice. He uses, I think, an Australian accent. I'm not sure. He puts on an Australian accent. And Kobe Smulders. Smulders sure. in this role.
First person ever to make that pun.
Yeah. yeah, so
Colby Smothers is lukewarm in the role.
It also features Giovanni Ribisi and
not the Giovanni Ribisi, one of his clones.
And it also features a great performance by Kevin Corrigan. Who
it's always good.
Yeah, no laughs there, huh? You respect Kevin Corrigan, but not Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah,
and it's. It's kind of a story about a personal trainer who owns a gym and he wants to open up a bigger gym. And he has kind of a mixed relationship with one of his trainers, played by Kobe Smulders, and a recent millionaire who's lonely and recently divorced moves into town and in an attempt to like make friends joins this gym. And it starts pushing everybody in various directions. And there's definitely points where you're like, this isn't super funny and the characters aren't like 100% likable, but that's part of the charm is that they're all like likably flawed a little bit. And by the end, I feel like you're kind of rooting for them and there's at least a little bit of a believable romance angle to it. Unlike the movie we watched today, but you do have to have a little bit of patience for that sort of thing, for that mumblecore sort of thing.
Yeah.
Did you guys see Terminator?
No, the first Terminator?
Yeah, have you guys seen Terminator 1?
I'll be back. It's hilarious.
I sort of honestly thought about it just because, like, as we said before, like, I'm on hiatus for 2 weeks, as are you. And,
sure.
like, I was just like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, during the day, maybe, why not? Did you see it?
I did. It's a certified mess. It's a real mess. There's so much time travel mumbo jumbo in it. Like, they're like, you know, we have to return to the flux point to reset the, you know, temporal flux. They just say flux a lot.
Uh-huh.
That aside, the action shit's really cool. And if you can approach it like this is going to be a hoot and not,
right.
will this be good? Is it better than Salvation?
Because I almost walked out of Salvation.
Yeah, it is
terrible.
It is goofy and fun, where Salvation is boring and overly serious. So yeah, it definitely has some of the goofy charm of the original Terminators, and definitely worth an afternoon matinee. I think if you enjoy robots punching each other and Europeans trying to keep their American accents.
That's the thing about Terminator 3, which is not a great movie, but it's a movie that does feature Arnold Schwarzenegger like head slamming a woman Terminator into a toilet.
Sure.
Yeah, I caught a fair amount of Terminator 3 on, like, I think it was on IFC recently, where they're playing 2 and 3 back to back a couple times. And it's got like goofy stuff that I kind of enjoy, like when it, you know, plays on the scene from Terminator 2 where he like walks into the biker bar, and this time he like walks into a gay bar, and he was just like, he basically walks out with the same outfit, like the same leather outfit. And then there's like the big chase with the truck with the, like, it's like a construction truck versus a fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a pretty good action sequence, like a classic traditional non-CGI, like, just big trucks fighting each other action sequence.
And that and the lady Terminator is played by what? Chris
Susanna Loken.
Yeah, from Blood Rain.
Blood Rain herself.
A certified great movie.
Rains down charm on the screen. Yeah, this is Genesis is closer to T3 in its tone, and yeah, I think it's pretty fun. It's getting really dragged through the muck. But
I mean, I like a good like goofball action film.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's all go right now.
Okay.
Yay. I'll pay for one of us with my All About Steve money. That one of us is me.
Before we go, Jordan, as a guest, is there anything you'd like to plug? This is going to come out this weekend.
Sure. So. I do a podcast, as you mentioned. It's called Jordan Jesse Go. It's on the Max Fun Network, as is this show. Give it a check out. Dan's been on an episode. Stuart, mm-hmm. You can be on an episode if you ever come to LA.
I don't know if Jesse will allow that.
Yeah, he might not. It might be too many cool dudes in one confined space. I'm a writer on At Midnight. Comes on Midnight on Comedy Central's Monday through Thursday.
What time's it on?
It comes on at midnight.
Okay.
Yeah. You can watch that if you enjoy television programs.
That is such a hacky joke, I bet.
Yeah, you hear it a lot. What time's it on? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Dad.
Nice impression of me.
I'm
glad I sound like your dad.
I'm Stuart.
Time to eat some garbage. Num, 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 num. I'm eating it. It's like hearing a mirror.
Yeah. It's like hearing a mirror.
So my goal has been fulfilled, which is to get Jordan comfortable enough with Stuart that he's
so
outwardly
do something
can do a mean impression of him.
So I think that means it's time to end the show. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
Hey, I've been Stuart Wellington.
And in the third chair today, Jordan Morris.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
So, all right. So I'll introduce myself, then Stu, then
do we have
you.
To sing the theme song?
Kind of sound like the MIDI version.
Yeah. This is what we have for the Flophouse Game Boy game. Yeah, exactly.
And like jumping, like this.
Also, you're Wario for some weird reason.
Okay.
You guys are not characters.
Great character, Wario.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists, and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods, or we talk about where to camp, or how to avoid getting eaten, or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us, because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye!